3, 2, 1.
Everybody, welcome back to another week of the Let's Dig In podcast. I'm your host, Chef Rich Rosendale, and I'm joined with our co-hosts, Christopher Ryloff and Rachel Barnett. And this week, we have celebrity coach and fitness entrepreneur, Don Salandino. Don has trained some of the biggest names in Hollywood, Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds, Emily Blunt, Jake Gyllenhaal. And we talked to him about his fitness app. We talked to him about what it's been like last year during COVID and how he's had to be kind of nimble. We talked about all kinds of interesting fitness tips. I know you're going to enjoy this episode. So without further ado, let's dig in with Don Salandino. Rachel, if you want to kind of dive in with the first question, we'll kind of get rolling here.
Sure. So. Well, again, thanks for joining us, Don.
My pleasure.
Happy it's great to have you here. So why don't you start by telling our listeners who maybe not be familiar with you, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you started.
All right. Well, we'll try and give the modified version, so I'm not spending an hour here. But so my name's Don Salandino. I started as a trainer in New York City 22 years ago, and started working at a big box gym. Left that big box gym. Started my own business, my own training business. I think 4 or 5 years later, I did my first raise ever, and I opened a 15,000 square foot facility in New York City called Drive 495. And it was inspired around golf and golf fitness because my brother was a professional golfer. I was a strength coach. We were inspired by the boys out of TPI, and we really brought this state-of-the-art facility in. I mean, we put a lot of money into it. I think we invested about $5 million into this facility.
Wow.
And which was awesome. But it had a bar, it had indoor simulators, and it had, you know, best in class coaching. I had about 10 coaches out of the gates, and we really started doing something pretty special. And then obviously, about 07, 08. So we opened the club in about 05, 07, 08, Bear Stearns and Lehman started, took that tank. And, my brother and I looked at each other and we said, well, there goes our corporate spending. You know, how are we going to adjust and adapt now? And then we became more about performance. In that period of time, we opened another club called Drive 443. It was more revolved around boutique fitness. We kind of experimented, like touched our toes in that a little bit. It was successful. I don't think it was something we were really entirely passionate about, which I'll talk about a little bit later on, because I think that's something that's really important. You know, you guys are starting this podcast right now because you're passionate about it, which is why it's going to be a success. Then I partnered up with professional athletes, Adrian Peterson, Dwayne Wade, and Ernie Ellis to start an app company called Driven Apps. That was about in 2010, where we did another raise and we got into the digital space, and we started these best-in-class apps where we developed apps for each one of these athletes that, you know, showed their sport, it showed their training, you know, maybe talked a little bit about nutrition, et cetera, and did exceptionally well out of the gate. And then, you know, we ended up exiting because we just couldn't figure out how to, you know, maintain that engagement, which, you know, we obviously figured out the answer to later on. So, you know, it seemed like my career was really, you know, there were so many successes, but there were so many, you know, flops as well, which you hear, you know, a lot of times people don't really want to talk about, you know, they're always focusing, oh, that guy's successful. I've got way more flops than I'd say successes, but, you know, it just takes one or two. So, I think right around the time of Driven, when we exited Driven, then I really started understanding the digital space a lot more and gotten heavy into social media and, you know, started with this online training and online programs. And, you know, unfortunately when COVID hit, you know, we closed the doors, but it was really on our terms to, for Drive 495. Our 15-year lease ironically expired in May. So I just decided not to resign, and, which was a very good thing for us, and focused solely for the first time, putting all of our eggs in the digital. And it just, you know, it became an incredible success.
That's awesome. I think what you said is important. Like, people look at the success. They don't see the flops.
Right.
They don't look at those flops. So tell us more about this online platform, donsaladino.com. I know you do the challenges, which I'm considering signing up for February. So maybe you can push me toward the end of this.
I can get you in one of them. And then you have even more pressure because I gifted it.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I have to do it, so. Yeah, no. So, DonSaladino.com has been a really fun project for my wife and I. My wife came aboard and she started handling a lot of the back end, and then we really quickly had to assemble a team of videographers, you know, a team to start focusing a lot on paid spend to be able to get our name out there to people that, you know, don't know who I am. So it's really broken down into three main categories. Category one would be our subscription base, which is through our Playbook app, which I've been a partner with for the last probably 5 years. And that subscription base offers quarterly programs, Don's daily workout. Like every week I put up the actual workouts I did for the week. And it's a very inexpensive way for someone to be able to stay engaged with really good programming, videos for every single exercise. You've got the option of choosing some different programs and a nutrition guide. So that's kind of your bare bones, really simple, but really hands-on. I mean, it's the best subscription-based product I've seen in the market so far. I'm really proud of it. We've got a bunch of great coaches that are aboard, and it's doing pretty well. My challenge is, I said I'm very proud of it. What I'm most proud of are my challenges. So the challenges are where I basically design a program for each month. It's a different theme program. January was our Resolute Challenge. And in that challenge, the person signing up will get a 4-week program with videos with my nutrition guide that's broken down into either a macro calculator, if they want to use macros to count, or through their palm, their fist, their hand, they can just measure according to, carbs would be about as much as can fit into a cup of your hand. Your protein mm-hmm. would be your palm. Your vegetable would be about your fist. Your fats would be your thumb. So that's been great because we built this community. It's all through a private Facebook group. And I probably have, I get at least 500 subscribers a month I see every month on Facebook great. Community, I probably get about 400, probably about 400 people participating on the Facebook group. And every day, all they're doing are posting pictures and their struggles and their success stories and videos. And I put up a daily video. So this morning I put up a short video this morning because I hosted a 2.5-hour Zoom call last night that I'll get to in 1 second. But this morning I answered a bunch of questions. It probably took me about 10, 15 minutes, but it was the questions from the video the day before. So every day I put up a video, that's the opportunity for the challenger to be able to ask their questions. And then I call their name out. I'm like, all right, Rachel, you asked me about portion control, or all right, Rachel, nice. You asked me about something with supplements, where to buy from, or Rachel, you asked me about training, and I'll sit there and I'll actually, so every single individual I answer their questions to. Every Wednesday I host a 2-hour Zoom that normally goes over. Last night I went 2.5 hours. I mean, I had hundreds of people on that Zoom call last night. And at the end of the month, I bring a guest speaker on. So this month's going to be a nutritionist. I might have some celebs that are coming on in the next couple of months. I'm bringing Dr. Belisa Vranich on next month to talk about breathing. So there's a lot of value added. We choose a winner every month that goes on our winner board, and we give away all prizes and all this great stuff. Then lastly, I have my paid programs, which is just for someone who wants to buy a program and be left alone. And that's been doing well also. So, a lot of different, branches.
Don, it's really, it's pretty cool. Like listening to you, because clearly you've really picked up a lot of momentum and a lot of exciting things that's driven by like your passion. I mean, you love what you do. Mm-hmm. And just to echo like what Rachel said about, a lot of things and what you were saying earlier, where you've tried some things before and some things had some success, some things you're like, hey, that didn't pan out the way I thought. But I mean, I feel like for a lot of the listeners out there that you can make a lot of like bad decisions in your career, in your life, but you really only have to make like a couple of like good calls on things for things to really kind of like just pick up momentum. And, I mean, you just like, I'm listening and I was like checking out like your Instagram page and all the things you're involved in. And, I mean, it's just, I feel like, especially now in the age of COVID, this is a good time to be nimble and try different things. I mean, all this, like the interacting that you're doing with like people on like Facebook and stuff like that. I mean, that's so much more engaging. It's just such a cool thing. But to hear it from you, I think a lot of people just need to kind of realize that you just gotta try different
things. You have to adapt. I mean, I think that's the biggest mistake is when in any business, even like I've had friends who've had businesses that are going really well, and it's not you know, COVID doesn't hit. Like there was just normal times, and in time, what was once shiny and new is it's gonna fade, and you have to figure out ways to recreate yourself, and like you said, be nimble and adapt and adjust and do all these things. And I think the biggest shame that I see is when someone's in business and the ego almost takes over, and they're like, oh, this has worked for me for years. Like, why would I need to change it now? I'm like, you need to change it now because people are bored of it. Like, you're not where you were 10 years ago. Things are different. Like, you've got to be nimble. It's a great way to put it. So yeah, I couldn't agree with you anymore.
And that is true. I think for fitness and gyms and stuff out there, but also even for like restaurants. I mean, you definitely got to try a lot of different things. Yep. So I'm kind of curious too, like, so where does the 2021 challenge take place?
Well, the 2021 challenges take place every month on, you know, you sign up on donsaladino.com.
Okay.
You know, you have the option of getting into the Facebook group. There are, you know, there are people who don't use Facebook and they don't want to be a part of the challenge, or they feel weird opening up and kind of being a part of that community. I don't know if I've had anyone who's gotten into the challenge who've done the community who haven't found some sort of value out of it. You know, I think when you're, especially during these times where we really are, you know, somewhat sheltered right now, like you have to admit it, like we're not socializing the way that we used to. You're not able to go to restaurants or meet someone for a cocktail anymore, or do things that we just took for granted. I play a lot of ice hockey right now, and that's really the opportunity I have to see my friends. And I love it, and it's great, but you really, you know, we all took for granted those times. So I think when you have someone who's, you know, living in a different country or a different state or a different city, and it's not, you know, New York City, where you have access to all these things, even right now, New York City's kind of shut down in a way, giving people access to other individuals that are a lot like them and going through the exact same things that they're going through right now, I think is really comforting. And I think that's what I was most proud about during the challenge. Are the programs great? The programs are great. The support is amazing. I will pat myself on the back for that. But I think the thing that I really smiled about was seeing how many people would actually start training on Zoom together, or how they would on Facebook, they had the option to be able to offer a group class where anyone was able to be able to jump into the class. And suddenly there's these little classes going on our Facebook group of 20 people or 10 people who are coming in and training at 2 p.m. during the day. And it's looking at the different time zones. So-and-so's in Singapore, so-and-so's in London.
That's awesome.
It was just cool. It just became like the United Nations.
It's fun. That's really cool.
What do you think inspires people to go into like the fitness world as far as like a business? Because it's intense. I mean, you got to be really, it's kind of grueling, you know? I mean, like, what do you think is what feeds people to go through that?
I was thinking about it for a second because I've seen different people get into the fitness business. I mean, up until the last couple of years, you'd see more business people getting into fitness because they were able to open these boutiques that they thought were just kind of turnkey, you know, let's go in here, let's, you know, open a, you know, whatever, some boot, you know, some boutique style of a club and let's run and operate and open five of them and put some money in our pocket. You know, that's fine. I'm not a big boutique guy. So it to me, I'm more on the side of like the gym owner and the trainer and someone who's going out there and actually putting their, you know, head down to the, you know, their chin to the stone, and they have to, you know, pay their dues. I mean, I'll never forget when I started, I was cleaning up weights at an Equinox back in 1999, and I was excited about it. I was excited about talking to someone on the gym floor and helping them out or showing them how to do an exercise differently. I didn't give a shit about, excuse my language. I didn't give a shit about, you know, how much money I was making or what my session rate was. I could hardly remember what it was. I was more interested in being connected with these people and helping them and seeing them improve. And I think if you're going to get into fitness because you love fitness and you want to change lives, that has to be your formula. That has to be your business model. Figure out how to be great at your craft. Take courses, take continuing ed, find a mentor, learn from your mistakes, continue to get your own health better, get others better, you know, train different people in different demographics, age groups. Like, it's a big problem nowadays is because of social media, everyone wants things so fast. And they don't realize that, like, all right, I was a 22-year overnight success. Like, it took a lot of time. Yeah, right. You know, they're just seeing things now, like, oh wow, I'm sitting here and everything's great. Like there were a lot of times where I was like, oh damn, like so and so just, you know, got sick or moved, and you know, I'm running my own business, and I'm like, well, I just lost five sessions a week. I didn't really worry about that. I just said, all right, listen, keep doing what you're doing, keep helping people. And then out of nowhere, you get a new client. So I just think you got to be in it for the right reason.
That's awesome.
Well, and definitely too. I mean, obviously the numbers and the metrics of like a business and stuff, those things always got to make sense. I mean, the business part of it, but really what's going to, I think, carry people, and we've seen this like with a lot of successful people that we've talked to, is that the passion is what kind of takes you like to the next level. You know, I mean, there's got to be something special that drives you to do it.
Yeah. I mean, Jim's right. Like I have friends of mine that have gyms that fortunately they're successful in other, you know, areas of the fitness business where it's just not their gym. Like some of my friends are, you know, very intelligent, and they were able to kind of pivot away from this and close a club. But then they, you know, for every door that closes, another one reopens. But man, through this whole process, you know, thinking about the trainer who, you know, for 6-7 months, you know, their whole, you know, livelihood was relying upon, you know, their session rate.
Yeah.
And, you know, right. And I remember that time, like, I'm doing 8 a day, I'm doing 10 a day. Oh my God, that equals X. And, and like, yeah, you would still think about those sort of things because it became a game. You enjoyed what you're doing so much. You were like, all right, I'm, you know, my record's 13 in a day. Let's go for it. You know, it's, you know, it becomes fun. But thinking about a lot of these coaches who were forced into a situation where they couldn't work, I was sick to my stomach for a lot of them. I knew a lot of these young kids who were getting started. They were lost. They were scared. They're looking at, well, I was training at so-and-so at an Equinox and they laid off 90% of the workforce. And now, you know, my social media is terrible. How am I going to build a business? I'm like, well, you got it. You have to, you have no choice. Yeah. And well, when do you think this thing's going to be open? I'm like, when do you think this thing's going to be over? I'm like, not for a long time. Right. I'm like, how about this? I want you to treat this time right now as if we are going to be in a pandemic for the next several years. Because you can't sit here and you can't say it's going to be October. When we had to close our club March 16th, I turned to all my trainers and I said, it's going to be fall. I really did. I said, it's going to be fall. And I said that because I thought I was overshooting by so far. I was like, let's just tell them fall so it could scare the living crap out of them so everyone can dive into like plan B. And
right.
When they reopened in fall, it wasn't really, I mean, we're technically not reopened right now. They're saying it's got to be at 33% capacity or whatever it is. But technically, we're not back yet. Gyms are not back yet. They are getting killed. And
or restaurants.
Restaurants are even worse. I mean, it's terrible. I'm sick to my stomach for everyone.
And Don, what do you think is probably like the most compelling benefit for people out there around the world for taking the 2021 challenge? Because I feel like sometimes it's almost more of like seeing a transformation whenever you're taking on a challenge. Like, what do you think is like one of the biggest benefits?
You know, you're going to improve. So whether it's aesthetically, whether it's from a movement standpoint, whether it's from an emotional, psychological standpoint, you're going to improve. So I think, not to sound like my own salesperson right now, but I think with a lot of programs, it's like, here's your program, best of luck to you. And some people want it. That's why I offer that option. But the reason why I said that the thing I'm most proud of are the challenges is because you really have an opportunity to be coached by me. And you can jump on every challenge for the last 10, 11 months and ask 500 plus challengers a month, did you have access to Don? Every one of them are going to say absolutely. And that's something that takes so much time out of me. But like I said, like you said, you have to love what you do. This is not me sitting here with my calculator later saying, oh my God, I made X. Let's just leave these people alone. The only way this thing becomes successful is if you give them that product of coaching. And
yeah, they want the training experience.
They want the training experience. So you're here getting coached. You're getting your questions answered. People have need physical therapists. I've gotten on the team, a phone with my team of PTs. I, you know, recommended 2 or 3 people in the last, you know, couple months for physical therapy because they had an ongoing injury that wasn't getting cleaned up, and it was out of my scope of work, and it shouldn't be in my scope of work. I'm not a PT, but I'm taking that time to call these PTs. So, I mean, there's such a high level of authenticity here when it comes to to what I'm saying, that, you know, just go ask anyone and they're going to tell you that's how I operate. And that's the only way I'll operate these challenges.
And I think too, I think people, they want that connection, you know, like that personal training experience. And I think that that's huge for you to do and to make that connection between you and the person doing the challenge, but also it creates connections between people within the challenge, like you said, on the Facebook group. And I just think that that's really important in times like this where we're locked up.
Right. That's what I was most shocked about. I couldn't believe the joy that it brought others from being connected to others.
Yeah.
And how these people became, a lot of them became friends. And that was really special.
Well, I think that community almost kind of helps, like maybe because people are still going to have low times, but you know, when you're kind of committed and you're in it with a group, a community, it's almost like they can kind of help lift you through maybe some of those bad days or those days you're not feeling 100%. So it's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the what you were saying, well, you have been talking about everything that you do and about the being successful and all the failure that you have to overcome and everything is super important. I love the energy that you have every time that you're talking. It's like, it's great. It's great because it's kind of like it's transmitting all that energy to us. I think that the challenge is great. And that brought me to, what do you do when you're not coaching and training? I know that you said, and I'm pretty sure I'm talking for all of us, when you live by passion, that is what you do and what we do. It's kind of like you breathe that. You breathe passion every day. You breathe coaching. And because as you're talking to somebody, is that what you're doing? But what do you do? What hobbies do you have? You just said that you play hockey, and what else do you do when you're not at the gym or coaching?
Well, no, it's a great question. Well, first off, I'm a dad and I'm a husband. So I've got two little kids. I got my daughter Amelia, who's 13, and I've got my son Donnie, who's 12. And you know, my wife Mel and I have been married for about 14 years. So you know, we have two little dogs, and we have an amazing family. So I'm very blessed with that. But you know, what are we into? We love snowboarding as a family. We try and do as many little trips as possible. You know, obviously ice hockey. I love to golf. I love to go do things with my kids tonight. Their mom right now went home to see her parents. She hasn't seen her parents in 18 months because of COVID. So she's finally jumped on a plane and flew out to Vegas. So I got the little guys and we're going to go party a little bit tonight. We're going to have some fun. So, you know, it's like, you know, suddenly like dad mode has to get a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
Like, mom's gone. How am I going to outdo mom right now? Like, what are we going to do? Like this morning before school, I'm like taking them to breakfast. They're like, we can go to breakfast. I'm like, yeah, come on, let's go. Best breakfast I had before
New
school
rules.
In a long time. Yeah. Like, that's right. It was, you know, throw it in my wife's face as a total joke. But yeah, I mean, the hobby end of it, I need to train myself. I mean, it's something where, you know, getting in there and breaking a sweat every day and working out and being strong and working on my body, super important for me, especially to be, you know, the business person I want to be and the dad and the husband that I want to be. But you know, the one area that I've been working on that's a lot of fun is a lot of this brand work that I've been doing with some different companies. So being able to come in and strategically help them out from a social media standpoint, from a content standpoint, has been so much fun because it's just gets you out of the, you know, gets you out of that training realm a little bit. So yeah, a lot of my work, it is work, and I probably do get a little bit too consumed by it. And at times, you know, you're waking up and I think that the downside is you're waking up and you never have that time to like open the morning paper. Like I'm waking up, getting cleaned up, and I'm in front of my desk eating breakfast and doing emails and doing challenge stuff. That's part of the job. But you know, listen, I control my own schedule. I'm not commuting into the city anymore. I'm not dealing with a 3-hour commute anymore. I'm working out of my home. I'm building a 2,000 square foot barn in my backyard right now. I'm about to break ground
cool.
on soon. That's going to become
that's
my whole really, you know, cool. gym and virtual studio. So yeah, we're up in the game a bit, and we're gonna have a fun year, hopefully.
That's awesome. That's
did
great.
You see those hockey rinks that you can put in your backyard now? They're like the real shallow ones.
Yeah, don't even tell me that right now.
That's I probably shouldn't tell you. Kids, we're getting a hockey rink.
Oh, I've heard about it.
But by the way, you mentioned you have two kids. By any chance, any of those two kids are kind of like following you? And I don't know, they have to see how many superheroes you trained already. And
Chris, it's a fun question. They've been around these people for a while, so they, I think they're very comfortable. I've got some good stories. I mean, listen, we're very close with several of them. Where you know when
That's
you're working,
amazing.
With, yeah, right. when you're working with you know another family, who are in these movies for a decade plus, you know, yeah, you start doing some staycations with them and traveling with them.
That's
and doing
great.
A lot of fun stuff, so the kids have a good time. But I have one really quick great story about my daughter who was obsessed with the show The Office. And I was working with Krasinski, John Krasinski, for a long time, who's a good friend and an amazing person. And I didn't tell her that John was coming to train with me one day and she's at the gym. But I mean, she was like watching the show, you know, five times a day, like beyond obsessed. And I always told her, I was like, listen, if you ever meet any of these people, remember the rules. You know, you never, early on, I told her, like, you know, you never ask for pictures. You never ask for autographs.
Right.
Call them, you know, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. You know, you're very, very polite and respectful. And you respect their privacy. And she's like, okay, fine. So Amelia's in the gym with my son and my wife. And I know John's coming in. I run to the front. And I said, John, come here. And he goes, what? I go, we got to play a joke on my daughter. He goes, oh, it's on. Because he already knew. I talked to him about it. And John comes walking through the gym and she's over by the waist with Donnie and Don, and my son looks at my daughter and goes, oh my God, Amelia. And Amelia looks and just like, she freezes up. She just puts her head down because she doesn't want to look at it. She doesn't want to say anything. She's got her head down. And John's like, Amelia. And Amelia's like literally shaking with her head down. Amelia, come here, give me a hug.
she goes in
to hug him. She can't even lift her arms. Right after she ran off to the bathroom, she was literally in tears. She was so happy.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, that's really, so
it was,
sweet.
That was so cool.
It was very cute.
That's amazing.
So speaking on back to the fitness stuff, fitness and physical health and mental health. Can you speak on the marriage of that? Because obviously both are so, so important and, you know, they fuel each other for better or for worse, you know? Can you speak on the relationship of that?
Yeah. You know, it kind of ties into individuals' goals. So people coming in a lot of times and they don't necessarily know what their goals are. I'm like, you know, what do you want to do? What's the goal? And that's why it's fun to train a lot of superheroes because their goals are very specific. They're like, I got to look this certain way. I need to be around a certain weight, or I have to appear to look like this on camera. And then we have a general idea. And then that's a specific goal that we have to go attack. But when the general pop comes in and they ask, they're always like, well, you know, I want to look better naked and, you know, I want abs and I want to be strong and I want a high level of energy and, you know, I want to be resilient. I'm like, you want it all. Like, right. You want to have it all, which is, it's kind of what a superhero trains for. A superhero, it sounds corny, but a superhero trains to look a certain way, but also move and operate a certain way and have that level of resilience. So that's why I always refer to it as superhero training. It's just very relatable. But, you know, I think when someone is coming in, when they get so obsessed over losing 5 or 10 pounds, that's when things become a problem. Because like in any business, like any good business person's gonna, you know, what do you wanna do? Start at the finish, build your plan. And then you're not sitting here obsessing over, oh my God, I gotta be worth $10 million. I gotta be worth $10 million. I gotta be worth, no. It's like, what do you have to do to be great today? What do you have to do today to execute that plan to the best of your ability? And it's the same thing in fitness. And that's why it's always a little ironic when you have a client come to you that is so successful and so high powered and they're great in that one category of their business, but then in being healthy, they're not. And it's the same approach. I'm like, listen, you're not doing what you need to be doing. Like, you're not missing meetings. You're organized at work. You're surrounding yourself with an outstanding team. You're recognizing when you have weak points. And when you have weak points, you're figuring out a way to fill in those weak points with either other employees or you're learning how to do it. Like, you're taking a much different approach than you're taking to your fitness. Your fitness right now, you're drinking every night and you're waking up and you're not planning and you're just showing up to the gym with no plan, with nothing in place, and you're not enjoying it because you're not seeing results. So I think what it really is, you know, sitting with someone, it's coming to that understanding of what is it we're trying to do? What are the expectations day in and day out? And making them realize that this isn't about sitting there and eating chicken, rice, and broccoli every day. I don't want you to do that. Like that's miserable. You're not getting in the micronutrients that you need to be healthy, and you're not going to enjoy the process as much. So I think in being great at this and being healthy, you have to find a level of enjoyment out of this. And I don't care if it's me writing the program, if it's the greatest program on the planet, if you are showing up every day absolutely hating what you're doing, then you're doing the wrong thing. There's right. other modalities. There's other tools that we can reach into the toolbox and pull out of and say, all right, you know what? This doesn't work. This works. And I hear it all the time. Someone will come to me and say, you know, do you like SoulCycle? And I'm like, what kind of question is that? They're like, I hate working out and I love SoulCycle. What do you say about that? And I'm like, well, then it would be my job to make you stronger for SoulCycle. Cause I don't mm-hmm. like the idea of someone sitting on a bike, you know, for an hour. Like, we sit enough in life. Why are we doing our training seated? But if you're finding that much enjoyment out of it, then let's figure out a way to enable you to be more resilient so you can get more production out of your SoulCycle, where you can get more out of your body for SoulCycle, and you can continue to enjoy it and stay healthy and stay in shape. So, you know, I think that's for me, that's what fitness is about. It's not always finding, you know, what's the best. It's, you know, it's finding, you know, what's good, what makes sense, what's responsible from a coaching standpoint, but what's enjoyable, because the individual has to enjoy it.
It really is. I mean, I think the whole, you have to enjoy what you do. I just discovered that I love headstands.
I love
it. And I got like a feet up headstand stance. So I'm upside down doing my upside down thing. But that's something that I have found that I really enjoy. Like, I don't like cardio, I'm not a cardio person, but this is something that I really enjoy, and it makes me feel good, and I'm getting a workout out of it.
Right.
So I think what you said is, you know, very valid, to finding something that you're passionate about, but how can you, you know?
Yeah, no. But headstands might open the door for you with something else. Like, suddenly you might start doing headstands, which might become a handstand. And then out of nowhere, you might start walking on your, but seriously, like, it might lead to something else where out of nowhere, that cardio starts becoming less important because you're going in and you're suddenly doing some gymnastics and you're playing and you're practicing and you're having fun. That's why I'm saying there is no best. You got to find enjoyment out of something. I think we have a responsibility to ourselves as human beings that we got to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand, like, in life, like, we should all embrace who we are in our bodies and do that. But I think we also have a responsibility. If someone's sitting here and eating junk all day and they're depressed about it, then yeah, something's got to change. Are you following? Like, that's toxic, and that's where we have to make those adjustments. But you're moving, you look great, you're doing something, you're going in the right direction. Go with it and focus on the positive rather than saying, but I don't like cardio. Is that bad? Like, no, like, you don't like cardio. Like, go start walking 10,000 steps a day. You know, go put your headphones on, walk, take a phone call, be active, move a little bit there. You know, if you hate resistance training, that's fine. Maybe try resistance training for 5 minutes a day. Well, is that okay? Well, it's better than nothing. Like, there's no way in God's name, if you were to tell me right now, I could take someone who was completely sedentary last year. That means 365 days a year, they hardly did anything, which, trust me, there's a lot of people out there that are like that. And I can introduce them to 5 minutes of work a day. They are automatically going to get in better shape because they're going to start feeling better. The mental aspect, everything we're talking about, that affects us mentally now. We might start taking different food choices. We might start looking at the alcohol we're drinking and going, oh, wow, you know what? Every time I have 3 drinks, I just don't feel good the next day. But when I had no drinks or 1 drink, I feel a lot better. We start going into this pattern now.
Yeah.
We start establishing these good positive habits that affect us day in and day out. And that's what it's all about. The biggest mistake is jumping into these New Year's resolutions and giving up everything. Well, it hasn't worked. Like, most people who do that, it hasn't worked for them. That's why they're going back. I don't do New Year's resolutions. Like, I've never really done one. I'm not like, for New Year's, I'm gonna stop eating cake. No, if I want to have cake once in a while, I'm gonna have it. If I want to have a beer once in a while, I'm gonna have it. That's part of life and that's part of enjoyment. But for me, mentally, it's training is part of my survival. If I don't have it, it's more about this than it is about this. You know, like, I need this to be sharp. Otherwise, everything else, it just lags.
And like you said, like, it just builds. Like, you start with those small habits of whether it's 5 minutes a day, and then you start noticing that you feel better and better, and then it builds, and then you're mentally feeling better, and then all of a sudden you're, you know, doing hour long.
Doing 15 instead of 5.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it took me a half hour to answer your question, because it's a very long question. I mean, it really is, but it's just what I'm telling every single person out there. The line I hear is like, I just want it. It's like, if someone's out there and they're like, God, I wish I was just that person who would just be able to wake up and want to go train. I just don't. There are more people out there than someone like me who just enjoys it and loves it. But find 5 minutes a day. Start challenging yourself a little bit differently. Maybe your workouts become that you stop taking the elevator and you start taking the stairs. Maybe you go buy a Fitbit and you say, you know what? I've been walking 3,000 steps a day. Is that good? Well, let's try and improve it. Last week I was doing 3. This week I'm doing 5. How's that? That's really good. We've almost doubled it. Let's keep seeing what we can do. And then out of nowhere, these healthy habits and our mood and our mind and everything starts changing. Then we start saying, wow, like how easy is this? Really fast story. One of my buddies came to me years ago and it was the weirdest request ever. He's like, I got to talk to you about something. I go, what? He takes his shirt off in my office and he goes, I want to see my top 2 abs. Weirdest request I've ever seen heard in my life. I've never heard anyone say, it's always like, I want my bottom abs or I want my abs. I want to see my top 2 abs. I said, where the hell did that come from? He goes, well, I'm 45. You know, I'm training. I'm in good shape. What do I have to do? I said, pull out pen and paper. I said, let's jot down like every night. What do you have? And he goes through it. Alcohol. I said, you know, just cut it all in half. He goes, yeah. I go, let's cut it all in half. Like, you're having desserts every night. Let's go every other night. You're having booze 5 nights a week. Let's cut it to 2 nights a week. You said you're going to pick up your cardio a little bit. Let's up your hydration a bunch. Keep eating. Increase the vegetables a little bit. He goes, these aren't a lot of changes. I go, no, let's just take a minimalistic approach. Let's give it 2 weeks. He goes, all right. 2 weeks, he comes back and he takes his shirt off. His top 2 abs were visible. And he, two weeks. And he looks at me and he goes, what's next? Like, and that was magic, because this is someone who's always kind of been in and out. Mm-hmm. He always kind of like, he was in shape, but kind of struggled, would be good for 7-8 days, would fall off, would put so too much on his plate and wouldn't be able to maintain it. And then he came back with the magic words, what's next? Because we took a minimalistic approach. We gave him what he could digest and what he can handle. We gave him a level of success, which gave him success up here, right? Right. Physical success, mental success, all the same thing. And then he turned around and he threw the magic words out at me. And then it's like, I'm like, all right, well, there's an answer to that also. And then we continued on. So I think the biggest mistake that most coaches make is they just give too much out of the box. Know your client.
Yeah. And I love what you just said too. I mean, that seems like so simple for people to understand, is like, just cut it in half, you know? Instead of like, you know, this and that and this step and that step. I mean, that's like something that's measurable that you can say, hey, look, you know, I usually do this, cut that in half. I mean, think about that from the standpoint of calories, you know. I'm going to start that tonight.
Yeah, start it tonight. Cut it in half.
I love it. I think it's great.
I've had people who've come to me and I'm like, how many days you drink last year? And they're like 300. And I'm like, okay, like, this might be another conversation, but how are you feeling? Do you feel like this is under control? And they're like, I do. I'm like, all right, well, can you cut it in half? And they're like, yes. And then yes, a year later, we're turning around and we're finding it's even better. It's maybe 100 days out of 300 days. And I'm like, all right, like, how are you feeling? I don't miss it that much. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? Like, all right, cool. Like, what do you want to do now? He's like, let's try and take it down some more. And then out of nowhere, we start retraining them. Rather than saying, you can't ever have this again. I need you to do, you know, 6 days a week at like P90X, it's 6 days a week at 90 minutes a session. No shit, someone's going to get in shape. It's like you're taking a sedentary individual and you're having them do basic things like bodyweight squats and lunges and pull-ups and you know, some yoga and some kickboxing and all this stuff. Yeah, you're getting someone to move. Of course, they're going to get in shape. It's just, it is a lot to turn around and expect a human being to go from zero to hero and maintain that for their whole lifestyle. Like, you got to give and take.
So, Don, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and then we'll be back to finish up with the rest of the questions. Hey, everybody, we're going to get right back to the conversation with Don Salandino. Before we do, I want to thank all of you for liking and subscribing to the show. Remember, you can go to richrosendell.com under podcast, and there is a link where everywhere that the show is available. You can also watch the video version of all of the shows at YouTube on Rosendell Collective. And again, there's a link. And also, please check out all of our sponsors. At the bottom of the page is a link to all of their websites. Please check out. We got some great supporters, and we know that you're going to love their products too. So anyway, let's get back to the conversation with Don Salandino. Okay, diving right back into this. Don, really enjoying the conversation with you. Super high energetic. And I'm also taking some notes here. I get some really good ideas. I love it. So I have some questions related to, you know, a lot of us have been staying at home over the course of the last year with the whole pandemic. And you know, some people, I mean, I even have a couple of good friends that have kind of really had the opportunity to focus on exercising because they were working so much before during the normal times pre-COVID. And some people have gone through some transformations. I mean, they've been exercising and it's been great to see that. But also I feel like I've also seen, and I can even like feel from some of the posts that you see people writing where people have been in like some low times. Maybe it's been kind of like a depressing period, you know, like people's jobs have been impacted. And also people, maybe it hasn't been as easy to like go to gyms and stuff. And some people have put on a lot of weight or a little bit of weight. Like what kind of advice would you give to some of those people that are maybe kind of like in a rut from this whole pandemic?
You know, you've got to put one foot forward at a specific time. Like this isn't going to, you know, get up and do it for you. You're like, no one's going to get up and do it for you. It's just, you've got to make some type of a commitment. And that's why when I was talking earlier about, you know, just getting off the couch, moving, committing to a program, committing to a challenge, taking a little bit of a risk, you know, moving in the right direction, you've got to do that. Because if someone's depressed from doing the same thing over and over, it's like, it's not going to change. Like, it's not going to change unless you change. So at a certain point, and you hear stories all the time, it's like, I've had it. I woke up, I looked at myself in the mirror. I was tired of it. I didn't want to, you know, I want to do this anymore. And, you know, I've got one woman who just, she just posted since she started this challenge, she lost 100 pounds and she lost about 100 pounds, and I want to say she's lost over 40 inches around her body, which is unbelievable. And she won one of my challenges, and she got on a call with me, and she's like, I'm not going back. She's like, I'm never going back. Like, this is like, what's next? And those are the stories that I love, because there was a point, and she openly admits it, like maybe there was some depression. Maybe there were some issues with her ex-husband. Maybe there's things going on that really weighed her down and put her in a negative spot. It didn't take me. It took her. Like, because I'm here, I'm doing what I do. Like I, if you come to me, like I'm going to be able to help out. If you're open-minded, but it's all came down to her, and it all came down to her decision and want, you know, her wanting to improve. So I think at a certain point, you just got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, like this is hurting me more than this is helping me. Right. Having this those five drinks a night, they might be numbing the issue, or I might feel great in the moment, but every day I wake up and I'm getting worse and worse, and my relationships are hurting, and my body's in a worse direction, and my business or my production is becoming worse and worse. And, you know, I got to take a stand, and I got to make a change here.
That's great. That's awesome. What about, with the superheroes, is there any of them, like anybody that you've coached, of all the superheroes, like that you're like most, proud of, or any of the bodies that you kind of look back and you say, man, I'm proud of that. Like I did that. I made that happen. Yeah, my kids, by the way, are big superhero fans too. So
yeah, you know, it's fun. I'm happy to talk about it. I mean, I never turn around and say like that was me. Like that was my work, because they, you know, they have to put the work in. I'm directing them, and I'm trying to show them what's the best way to get from point A to point B. You know, how can we maintain this for, you know, as long as you need to maintain it? With actors, it gets interesting, because you can do all this great work, and then, you know, a month later they have to get ready for a role where they have to drop 30 pounds, and then you're like, all right, so much for that. You know, it's right. So it's not always like, you know, their job is to not always walk around and underneath their shirt they look like Superman. But you know, looking at, you know, who are, I've been close with so many people. I mean, Ryan Reynolds has been my guy for 12 years. I mean, Ryan's been a brother to me, and you know, him and his wife Blake have done more for me in my career than probably almost anyone. I mean, probably that's two awesome. Of the most loving.
He seems like a really cool, like down to earth guy.
Beyond anything you would ever even imagine. I mean, he's at that level. But that's not devaluing all the other great people that I work with. Sebastian Stan's texting me right now. Love him. Seb's like a little brother to me. I mean, like I said, John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, like great relationships with them. Annie Hathaway, oh my God, like talk about an unbelievable person. She's fantastic. You know, some really great up and coming actors, Drew Powell, unbelievable guy. Liev Schreiber, been, you know, good buddies. Billy Crudup just came on my podcast recently, and Billy and I have had, you know, I've had a friendship for over a decade. So, you know, this stuff has been a lot of fun for me. To be able to work with them, because yes, you establish a friendship, but you're here to facilitate something that they need also. And you,
yeah.
I think I'm being in the, I think the one good thing that I've always recognized is as close as we get, like I'm here to do a job. This is like,
right.
like
right.
I've got like eyeballs are on me. Production companies are, you know, relying on us to do a specific job and get this individual ready. And you better do a good job. So, you know, yeah, proud of a lot of them. I mean, Hugh Jackman was my first guy that I worked with for a year. We got him ready for Wolverine in Australia. He was terrific. You know, we did a lot of great stuff with his physique and really transformed his lower body, really started getting him to do a lot of legs after The Boy from Oz. And he went from a role where he was 175 pounds where we got him up to like almost 210 pounds. So you know, that was, you know, doing that, you know, naturally and doing that the right way is something that I always believe in and I'm really proud of. So yeah, I mean, a lot of great people. I've been very blessed. I've been very, very blessed.
That's amazing. Don, what do you think that is a good place to, for people to learn more about health and fitness?
You know, it's a great general question. I think nowadays social media can be really good and really bad. I think what you need to do is you need to find a coach. There's a lot of great coaches out there that I think are exemplifying what most people want to follow. You want to find a coach who's, you know, nutrition based, training base, but also is someone that you want to, you know, is also someone that's realistic. Like I look at my friends that are coaches, they're strict, but you'd want to go out and have a beer with them. They have that balance. So yeah, I think there's specific coaches on the internet that you can find. And some of the best coaches that I know aren't necessarily people that would belong on magazine covers. They are people who might have good builds, but they're definitely more of an educational focus. And I think what happens with most people out there is they're always looking for the man or the woman who have that physique, but that doesn't mm-hmm. always mean that, you know, right. they're the most educated. It might be that they're showing what works for you. A coach is going to be able to point you in the right direction. A coach is going to be able to problem solve. A coach isn't always someone who just has to hand you a program and go here. Like a good coach understands that every good program, you have to deviate off of that. And, I never like to call it regressions. I stole my friend Dr. Charlie Wongroff's line. We call it lateralizations. It's like, if this doesn't work for you, okay, it's not that it's any better or any worse. We need to move. We need to laterally move to something else that fits for you. So, you know, I think most people out there should really look for a coach, someone who's actually, you know, been doing this, who have actually coached people and who's not, you know, don't judge someone's success by, you know, how many millions of followers that they have.
Mm. Right.
That's good advice.
Right, that's great.
Yeah.
And we were talking at the beginning about like Zoom and different other, like everything that people has to adapt throughout the pandemic. Do you find that it's been more difficult to motivate people during the working out via Zoom? Or what software do you use to do it? Or just like
videos? Yeah, I mean, I've been using, so I'm not, when it comes to training people now, I'm probably doing, I mean, I used to do 40 to 50 sessions a week. Wow. Now I'm probably doing, you know, 8 to 10. I mean, my business has become, you know, more about this global, you know, trying to focus on the challenges, et cetera. But I've had absolutely no problem in motivating people, being on a FaceTime call or having my iPhone set up on a tripod and sitting there, you're still getting that connection. The only part that always bothers me is that I can't, and you, most people be like, why would you care about that? I like being able to move around the floor. And I feel like there's mm-hmm. a level of time that we save where it's like, all right, we got to set up this rack right now. Right. I'm immediately like click, click, bar comes over, safeties go down or go up. Like I could set it up in 10 seconds. Now it might take a minute or two, you know, for someone who's just kind of learning that. So that's been the only downside. But from a motivational standpoint, you're sitting there and you're still coaching. Like a coach on camera can still see, like, are you going into flexion or extension? Or is that knee, you know, dropping in or what's actually going on with the body? And that level of accountability has been fantastic. It is so much better than I actually thought it would end up being. I think this forced us to have to really trust this process.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's like you're still like keeping people engaged, and that's kind of that's the main thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and I can attest to that. The motivation on the Zoom workouts through the Netflix thing.
Oh, that was fun.
That was fun. those were Those were fun. They yeah. were challenging.
Painful.
But yeah, I would definitely say that. In a good way, you know, like we were stuck in this quarantine bubble. We could not go outside to work out. We couldn't go out of our rooms to work out or eat or anything like that. So like, we were so grateful for those times. And I felt that there was serious motivation on your behalf, you know, through Zoom. And that was really an incredible thing for us.
Well, I mean, we have to thank, I mean, Ryan and Blake were pretty much the ones who was able to get that intro for me in there. My niece, Sophia, who, you know, and, you know, bringing me in there, working with Netflix was a lot of fun. And, but again, like you go into these workouts understanding that, all right, well, no one has dumbbells and no one has,
right,
you know, equipment. And Ryan and Blake are sending over, you know, boxes of bands for everyone to use just to give them a different modality. So they're having fun, uh-huh. you know, which was amazing, you know, of them. But, you know, going in and doing a bodyweight workout, I mean, a lot of people didn't necessarily trust, you know, a year ago. It's like, oh, you know, I'm going. That's where gyms are going to change a lot. I think where someone was going to a gym 5 days a week, including myself. I mean, I owned a gym. I would practically live in a gym, but 5-6 days a week, I was going to a gym. I never, in-home workouts would be like maybe in the summertime, outside jungle gym, right, once a month, like really simple. And, you know, even now what I'm finding out is, you know, you get your equipment in your house, you save so much time. A couple of days a week,
yeah,
I go to the gym just to mix it up or have some fun or engage with a couple of people. But all in all, like so far this week, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I've trained from home. I haven't even gone to the gym. So I think that's where things are going to change a bit with a lot of these apps and a lot of these programs and a lot of mm-hmm. these avenues. You're not losing, because wherever you live, listen, I don't care if you live next to a gym. It's like you go to the gym, you got to check in, you go to your locker room, you drop this off, you know, you go out, you start stretching. Like you're losing time to and from the gym. And now we're just finding out ways to do things a little bit more efficiently. And if we're more efficient and more consistent, we're going to see more results, which is what I'm trying to promote.
Don, now that you mentioned that, what is your thought about, well, first, you mentioned Fitbit. Do you have any like Apple Watch or Polar or Fitbit that is your favorite? And the second one is going to be, what do you think about all of these different kind of like smart workout at home that you buy the home machine, you put it into a wall, or you buy the weights and everything? What is your thought about that?
Great questions, man. So let's start with the wearables. I've worked for several wearable companies. A lot of the wrist wearables, they're just not there yet. Even Apple Watch. And listen, the first one who's going to nail it's going to be Apple. I mean, they always do. They're, you know, the company's worth a gazillion dollars. You know, they're going to figure it out. But there's been so much variability with heart rate in general with those wristwatches. A lot of these devices that measure readiness that go around your wrist, there's a lot of variability in there. So are they going to nail it one day? 100%. But if this is, you know, if we're looking upon this as a device for like the highest level performance, I don't think it's there yet. I think a lot of these devices, what they're doing, like Whoop's doing a really good job right now of, you know, establishing good habits and behavioral change. So when you're throwing a Whoop on, regardless whether the heart rate's accurate or not, like if you turn around and you go past that one or two cocktails, you're going to start seeing the next day your HRV, your heart rate variability, is in the red, which means that your body's maybe a little bit fatigued. And when you start relating those extra cocktails to waking up the next day and your wearable showing you that you're not rested, you start thinking about having that additional cocktail. And I think from a behavioral change standpoint, exceptional, amazing. I think they're really knocking out of the park because it's this constant reminder. It's charging right now, but I wear an Oura ring on my wedding finger. You know, instead of wearing a wedding ring, I wear one of those Oura rings, which basically measures my sleep. And whether I know I have a good night's sleep or not, or whether I feel like I have a good night's sleep or not, the next day I was a little disrupted last night. I felt like a little disrupted. I woke up twice and I'll look at my watch and it'll show me how many times I woke up and how much, you know, REM sleep I got or how much deep sleep I got. And then I start thinking about, why was my sleep affected? And I'm like, okay, like I ate too late at night. I ate way past my normal bedtime. Or okay, I was on my computer in my bed, which is a no-no. That's a rule I never do, but I got caught up on researching this YouTube channel and I'm working in bed and I'm exposed to all that blue light, or, right. Oh no, I had a late night hockey game and I was all jacked up. So you start, this starts setting behavior up for you. Like this is starts allowing you to think a little bit differently and say, oh, I'm going to relate that night's sleep. I had caffeine too late in the day. Right. And then when you start connecting the dots a little bit, then you could start making some really solid behavioral change, which will affect you positively. So, yeah. So I think from the wearable device area, what do I wear? I use something called Omega Wave, which really isn't a consumer device yet. It measures readiness. It's not a wearable. It's a device. It's way too complex right now for the typical consumer to use, but it's like 100% spot on. I do wear the Aura every day because I like measuring sleep. I think that's the most important thing to look at. Our sleep is one of the most important things going on in our life. And then when I measure heart rate, when I'm running, I'll throw on like a First Beat. Like I like the First Beat system because I can go play in my hockey games and it spits out a report to me and it shows me during my shifts where my heart rate was at or how quickly my recovery came down. Those are fun things for me to do that most people, you know, I would recommend that Oura Ring to most. So that was your first question. What was your second one?
Right.
Drop the ball.
About the workout devices that they're selling. Like the way that they I think that some of them, they're Wi-Fi. You can connect it to your phone. They come with videos and stuff like that.
Like the so it's a,
I just got something sent to me. I just got a really cool one sent to me. It's called Ergata. It's a rower, right? And I'm not a big rower, but it's a water rower. If you guys saw House of Cards, see House of Cards? I don't know if you guys ever saw the show House of Cards, but any of the people who are listening to this, House of Cards, when Spacey and his wife would be on that water rower, it's almost the same thing, but it's got this beautiful, like, big screen monitor on it. And you can get on it, and out of nowhere, you could set up races. You could race against people. There's this gamification component. And for me, I'm like, wow, this is a lot of fun. And my son was down here earlier, like, having a race against something or someone.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
It's just great. So that's what I'm talking about. It's like that stuff I think is fantastic. If someone's going to install a mirror in their house and it's going to motivate them to move, I think it's fantastic. It's really like for me, it's much more, I'm much more of a meat and potatoes person. Like in my gym, like I have regular weights and I have kettlebells and I have racks and I have pull-up bars and I have, yes, I have some cardio equipment. I've got a really nice setup, but you know, would I personally ever use a mirror? The answer would be no. But if a client of mine's turning around and saying, I'm going to get a mirror or I'm going to get this system and I'm really excited to use it, if it's going to set you up for success, then kill it.
Yeah, I mean, all these options kind of change the experience of fitness for people. And if it gets somebody engaged and gets them on a habit of exercise, then great.
Yep.
Totally great. Don, what do you eat at work? And do you have any cheat foods, anything that you really crave? Once in a while,
you know, it's funny. My nutrition is always pretty consistent, and it depends. Like if I have to prep for something, like when I'm getting ready for, you know, I've been on the cover of Muscle and Fitness or Men's Health. So when that comes, you know, there's absolutely no cheats for, you know, weeks. Yeah. But I don't really, you know, I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way. I don't need to prep for a long period of time for these things because I kind of like to walk around close to ready, which can become challenging also because when your body fat's low, you want to make sure that your energy level's high. So that's where I think things would always get a little bit tricky. But yeah, I mean, my day consists of a very plant strong diet, meaning like, yes, I like getting in a lot of vegetables, but I do eat animal protein. And I make sure that if it's red meat, it's grass fed or turkey or chicken or eggs or wild fish. So I try and, source those foods out from the highest quality, you know, spot. And, you know, carbohydrates. Yes. I'm a big carbohydrate person. It's a slower burning carbohydrate. So I'll use, you know, sweet potato or quinoa or jasmine rice. And yes, I will use fruits, et cetera. So with me, nutrition is, if you're eating properly, that's the best way to detoxify the body. So when people ask me about detoxes, I'm not huge into detoxes because I feel like if we have a good organic nutrition and we're getting a high level of micronutrients in, then that's going to detoxify our body. So from an eating standpoint, every 3 hours, you know, I'm consuming probably around 270 grams of protein a day. I'm doing about 430 grams of carbs a day, and I'm roughly in around 90 grams of fat. So I eat food. I eat a lot of food. As for cheats, oh my God, like I love burgers. I love fries. My buddy Juan Morel started this My Cookie Dealer, where he's delivering these half pound cookies that you have to bake for $3.50, and you dump ice cream all over them, and you can literally feel like you died and went to heaven. So yeah, those things, you know, pizza once in a while, pasta, like I love to eat food, but you know, I pick my battles, and I'll, you know, if I have a meal, I'm not feeling guilty about a meal. If I'm having a meal and I'm feeling guilty, that means I'm probably doing something that's out of my norm, or maybe I'm abusing it too much. And the guilt is coming in because then I don't feel good. And if I don't feel good, then that's the indicator that I'm doing it too much. So I've got pretty good discipline with it, but don't think for a second that every once in a while I'm not caving in. You know, I'm a human being, and I have to do that.
Well, Don, I know we're getting, we're just about out of time here. I'll let Chris and Rachel have the last two questions. And then of course, we're going to want to know like where people can learn more about you at website, you know, but go ahead, Rachel, Chris.
Okay, I'll go first. So for your challenges, your monthly challenges for people at home who maybe don't have workout equipment, don't have anything at home, how can they participate in your programs and do these challenges at home?
Right. Well, fortunately, the challenges are dumbbell only challenges. So you really only need a set of dumbbells, and we'll be able to kind of manipulate certain things with time under tension or rest or rest time in sets. And that's why there's an advantage that you have access to me. But if someone's looking for something that's just body weight only because they don't have any access, you can go to donsaladino.com and choose a body weight program. You know, I have access to that, and hoping to see everyone on.
Awesome. Thank you.
It sounds pretty good. It sounds exhausting already.
It's fun. these workouts are not like, if anyone who's trained with me understands that working out with me is, it's training. It's not working out. It's not about coming in and beating the crap out of someone. That's not training. Training is about, you know, finding out what level someone's at and just building up layers and just building up this foundation, and to the point where, like, in time, well, I'm thinking about going up in weight. I'm like, well, your form's good. Yeah, my form's good. Well, let's take the weight up a little bit. Well, what if I fall short on reps? Well, you fall short on reps. Like, it's not like these are just ranges. It's not like, right, if I'm telling you to do 10 and you do 8, it doesn't mean the exercise now is obsolete. So, you know, I think it's also people getting the understanding that there is some leniency with these programs, in the sense of we're all going to be at different levels. And if I'm telling someone to do 10 pushups and you can only do 2, that's great. I'm really happy. We're going to get that 2 to 10. That's the whole goal now. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just great. Think that's my approach, and that's what's worked.
Yeah. And I think it's also about, even if somebody isn't, you know, going to be, have the greatest shape of what they maybe want to aspire to, but it's also just kind of being fit, you know, right, somebody that is just exercising and just feeling better. You know, you might not be cut like a superhero, but you can still have a level of fitness that you feel better every day. You know, I think that goes so far.
It's a surprise. It's a surprise to most what we can do with the human body. The thing that most people have to do is you just have to make the decision. Like, are you going to take the plunge? It's not going to happen if you don't take the plunge. Like, you have to put your best foot forward. And, you know, I think that's what's been great. Mostly all the people who have been putting their best foot forward, they can all say that they've seen some level of improvement. You know, some it's more emotional, some it's more, aesthetic wise, movement based, but there's always improvement that's happening.
Okay. That's awesome. So I'm just going to put it out there, since we're doing this right now, we're doing this live, and I'm going to do the February challenge.
I got you.
Just awesome. I'm going to do it. I'm going to
email me. I'm setting you up on it. It'd be a nice, we'll have some fun with it. It'd be great to see you too.
You've committed.
I've committed. Listeners have heard.
I'm expecting a text or email for you. I will set you up with your code. You are in.
That's awesome.
Hey Don, totally, we really enjoyed this, and I could talk to you, listen to you for like another hour, but really, seriously, I mean, this was fantastic. And we got a restaurant here as well, and a commissary kitchen in Northern Virginia, and we have amazing burgers. So
I'm coming.
If you're ever when you're in the DC area,
you didn't have to
reach out to me.
I just invited myself.
Yeah, it's totally, it's worth cheating on. It's awesome. It's delicious burgers. We use a local grass fed Rosetta Farms dry aged beef. We also dry age our own meats. We are in Leesburg, Virginia. We're basically in the suburbs of Washington.
Oh, cool. All right. Yeah. Well,
yeah. But I mean that, man. Anytime, if you're in the area, you let me know. And we also do amazing, like smoked brisket and all kinds of hand cut fries. So
now you're talking.
It's worth it.
salivating. I love it. Thank you.
And Don, where can everybody find out more about you, about the website, if you can share
us? Yeah, just keeping it simple, going to donsaladino.com, DonSaladino, or my Instagram is Don Saladino. I'm verified, so I'll pop right up on there. So, checking that out, and it'll funnel you into where, you'll definitely have a lot of access to me. I put a ton of free content up there between my YouTube and my IGTV. So, really what my page is about is just, getting people comfortable and setting them up. And if they want to take the plunge into that next step, then we definitely have an answer for them as well.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Well, enjoy the rest of the evening, and thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Sending you blessings rest of the year.
Thanks,
Don.
Guys. Rachel, let's communicate later on. All right.
Oh, we will.
Don. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Everybody, I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Don Saladino. Be sure to tune in every week for new episodes. We've got some great guests lined up for this year. But also, I want to take a moment to say thank you to our sponsors. We have supporters and collaborators that we work with to be able to help and promote the show. One of the most exciting partnerships that we have this year, hands down, has got to be Dry Ager. If you love restaurant quality dry aged meats, you've got to check out their website. Dry Ager, we have a link to their site on our podcast page as well. And they can control the humidity. There's a UV light inside of the dry aging cabinet. And also it's precise temperature and humidity controlled. So the product that you get out of there has incredible yield and amazing flavor. We have just had so much fun with this new partnership this year. Check them out. I know you're going to love them the same way that we do. And also one of our long-lasting partnerships, Art of Flame. We've been working with Art Flame Grills for several years now, and they make some of the most exciting outdoor cooking equipment in the world. You can go to their website and you can see all of the accessories that they have. They're essentially like a large griddle with a beautiful fire flame in the center of the grill. Incredibly cool piece of equipment to cook on. I have one at my house. We use them at work. They're incredible. And also check out Verlasso Salmon. We do lots of events all over the world. Verlasso Salmon, we've been using their salmon for several years. They're sustainable. They have incredible flavor. Everything that we order is literally like right out of the water and direct shipped to us anywhere in the world when we're doing events. And for us, the ingredients really kind of gives us an advantage to be able to get the product that we want to get out to our customers. And it really starts with using the best ingredients. Verlasso Salmon, check them out. And of course, Khomee, K-O-H-M-E-E, is the recipe software that we use to manage all of our menus and recipes for our entire organization. And I also even use them for my home recipes. But big thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to all of you for continuing to like and subscribe to the show and for sharing it with everyone. We'll see you next week with another guest. Thanks so much for listening and watching.